Welcome to Specialty Shop Retailing, the podcast for shopkeepers and other small business owners. Your host is Carol Schroeder, co-owner of Orange Tree Imports in Madison, Wisconsin, and author of the book Specialty Shop Retailing, How to Run Your Own Store. Carol welcomes your suggestions for topics for future podcasts, so please email her at info@orangetreeimports.com. As always, today's program will end with a special feature from the Orange Tree Imports Nonsense Files, an archive of the most unusual and unlikely products of the past 30 years, so stay tuned. And now, here is your host, Carol Schroeder.
Hello, and welcome to the sixth edition of Specialty Shop Retailing. Today we're going to be discussing markup and markdown. We all know that it's not easy for a shop to make a profit, and that even the most successful stores face lean periods. When this happens, you only have three real courses of action: decrease your expenses, increase your sales, or make more margin on the merchandise you're already selling. The margin you make on a product is based on the percentage of markup, and it can also be affected by its evil but necessary twin, markdown. The basic premise of retailing is, of course, to buy merchandise at wholesale and sell it at a higher price to the consumer. But it's no simple matter to determine how much markup you should take above the wholesale price, and whether you should try to discount your prices to compete with the big box retailer down the street. The flip side of marking up a wholesale price is, of course, marking down the retail price on slow-moving goods, and being efficient at both are essential skills. Traditional retail markup in many types of stores is double the wholesale price. The term for this is keystone, which may come from the architectural word for the top stone in an arch, the most important element in holding up a structure. Unfortunately, keystone markup is in many cases no longer enough to keep a retail store standing. You may wonder why keystone worked so well for retailers for years but is no longer considered adequate, especially when so many discount stores are thriving. I think it has to do with the high cost of running an independent specialty shop, especially rent and personnel. A big box store usually owns its own buildings and is able to cut costs on everything from supplies to utilities due to the economy of working at such a large scale. Chains are also often able to negotiate lower prices from suppliers because they buy in such volume. So if you buy an item for $5 and sell it for $10, the discount store may actually be buying it for $4.50 and selling it for $9.50, thereby appearing to discount but actually earning more than keystone markup. Happily, you can do this too, and it will help you get higher than keystone on some products. Look for specials such as closeouts and promotional items that you can get an extra margin on. Take advantage of early buy and early pay discounts, and try to negotiate free freight whenever possible. If something comes in a set, see if you can get a slightly higher price by selling the pieces individually. Try the reverse, too. Bundle several items together in a gift set and add a bit on to the markup. You can also take extra markup on items that are somewhat unusual, such as works of art, since consumers don't have a preconceived idea of the item's value. Some uneven wholesale prices allow markup to an even amount, for example, marking an item that you paid $9.50 for to $20, whereas a $5 item should probably be marked at $10 so that it doesn't jump into that $10 to $15 price range. But you should be cautious of trying to beat a discounter at the discounting game, because as I mentioned, your overhead costs are likely to be higher. Think of the quality of the shopping experience you are providing as one of the things that make paying a bit more worthwhile to your customers. Always strive to provide the best in selection, product knowledge, shopping environment, convenience, and friendly customer service. This is probably a good time to clear up some terms regarding markup that can be confusing. If you buy an item for $1 and sell it for $2, the $1 difference can be referred to as either your margin or your markup. Some people will say you're taking a 100% markup because you're doubling the wholesale price, whereas others will say it's a 50% markup because your markup is 50% of the retail price. If you get used to using the 50% figure, it will be simple to calculate your cost of goods sold, which is one of the important factors on your profit and loss statement. The cost of goods sold is the wholesale price of an item, including freight. In order to be more profitable, you'll want your costs of goods sold to be low in relation to the retail price. But even if you use keystone markup on everything, at the end of the year, you will probably discover that your average cost of goods sold is closer to 55% or even 60%. This is a reflection of the fact that some items were sold on sale or at a discount, and others may have been broken or stolen. Although marking merchandise down does increase your cost of goods sold, it's a necessary evil. Keeping merchandise on hand in the hope that it will eventually sell at full price ties up dollars that could be used for more popular goods. It also represents a lost opportunity by tying up shelf space that could be used more efficiently. Start with a small markdown as soon as you've determined that an item really isn't moving, instead of waiting to clearance it out at a dramatic markdown. As one wit said, don't let merchandise become family. As a savvy retailer, you should be constantly on the alert for the most efficient way to mark up and mark down merchandise, and hopefully that will result in a low cost of goods sold and a healthy bottom line at the end of the year. And now for today's reading from the Nonsense File, Silly and Strange Items Offered to the Gift Industry Over the Past 30 Years. We're digging far into the archives for this one, if you can even remember the days where we didn't have computers. This is called the Doolittle Computer with 0K Memory. It's from April 1, 1984. Tired of hearing about computerese as the language of the future? Well, we have the computer that will impress your friends and requires no maintenance and minimal money. This amazing terminal is an unfriendly creature at best. It will never balance your checkbook, teach you a language, or play obnoxious video games. Give the gift that doesn't do anything. The Doolittle Computer has these features. No messy software to clean up, a unique anti-memory device, and it will never talk back to you. So the computers were never down with the Doolittle Computer in 1984. That's it for Specialty Shop Retailing for today. Feel free to email me at info@orangetreeimports.com with ideas for future podcasts. And until then, happy retailing.